Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The true God is found in the Bible, and He's revealed the only means by which we can approach Him. In fact, He has something to say about any religion that doesn't meet His standards. Get set for some straight talk. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Today, Erwin Lutzer speaks on lie number 5, that God is obligated to save followers of other religions.
What does the Bible teach about non-Christian religions, or as we sometimes say, pagan religions? What does the Bible have to say about that? Well, first of all, let me say, in the Old Testament, our Jewish friends need to be reminded that the God of the Old Testament, who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was no tolerance in the Old Testament. Now, we dealt with that in a previous message, but let me remind you of the fact that it says in Deuteronomy, for example, that when it comes to the pagans, you will smash their altars and you'll bring them down. There was no sense in which saying, well, they can be saved too because they're sincere. You sure don't find that in the Old Testament. Can't imagine Elijah on Mount Carmel. And some of you perhaps have been to Mount Carmel, those of us who have been to Israel. I mean, we're standing there on Mount Carmel where the fire of God came and destroyed everything that was there, but it was the God of Baal, the God of Baal. It would be unthinkable that Elijah would say to himself, well, these religions, they have their path to God too. No, you don't find that. Because we've learned that God is holy and you just don't come to Him in any way. And then you look at the New Testament and you discover that Paul says that those who worship idols aren't even really worshiping the idols. They are worshiping the demons that the idols represent. That's pretty strong. The New Testament and the Old Testament together show that the pagan religions simply do not have any merit in God's sight. Now, hang on for a moment, but that's what it says. In fact, the Bible gives an entirely different interpretation of religion. When I was in university many, many years ago, the whole thing went this way. Look, there is an evolution in religion. And first of all, people believed in many gods, and then they straightened it out a little bit, and then it became more refined until you have Christianity with its belief in one God, but three in one, and so forth. Actually, the Bible gives an opposite view. Instead of the evolution of religion, the Bible talks about the devolution of religion. It says in Romans, who, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things, and they worship the works of their hands. So the religions of the world are really not so much in a state of evolution, but they represent a time when people did understand the true God. They turned away from the truth, and they ended up in false religions, which are really anti-God. Remember that old story about the elephants, how you have four different people describing an elephant, the four blind men of Indostan, if I remember correctly. And in one instance, the man said, well, I think that the elephant is like a tree, because the man was up against one of the legs of the elephant. The other one said, I think it's like a rope, because he was hanging on to the tail, and that you have different explanations. And then they discover, presto, it's all the same elephant. The purpose of that story is to say it's all the same God, it's just different expressions. No, there are several reasons why that illustration is fatally flawed, but let me give you one of them, is because the Bible would teach, we're even talking about different elephants. I mean, we're talking about different gods. The God of other religions is not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the simple fact is that even though there is similarity in teaching, in some instances. Buddhism, for example, has some things about self-denial and so forth that may indeed be compatible with Christianity. But when it comes to the matter of salvation, of how people get to God, the Bible consistently gives no hope to those who are in some other religion. Not any teacher will do, not any sacrifice will do, only Christ, for the reasons that we've already outlined. Let's go on to a third question. We've looked at the question of whether or not Christ is the only way and answered yes. What about the other religions? Well, according to the Bible, they fall short of what God requires, and they are actually expressions of a warped idea of God. What about the basis of God's judgment? What about those who have never heard? Well, take your Bible now and turn to Romans chapter 1. I already quoted some of the verses from Romans 1, but I shall now begin at verse 18, and then we shall go briefly to chapter 2. Let me give you the principle, and after I've given you the principle, we shall read exactly what the text says. The principle is this: everyone will be judged on the basis of what he or she did with what he or she knew. That's the basis. Now, with that in background, let's show it in the text. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men, and we may include women, are without excuse. Wow. Paul is discussing the question of how those who were not privy to God's revelation to the Jewish people, how they are going to be judged. And he says that nature displays the power, the eternal power and godhood, and it is such a clear display that for them to fall into worshiping pagan gods leaves them really without an excuse. Now let me give you another passage in which the Apostle Paul shows the fairness of God's judgment, his justice. There are two lights. There is the light of nature and the light of conscience. Now we're talking about general revelation. General revelation means that this is revealed to everybody. Special revelation has to do with the Bible. So keep those terms distinct. But notice it says in verse 12 of chapter 2 of Romans, all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but those who obey it. Indeed, now notice, when the Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required in the law, they are a law unto themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show the requirements of the law are written on their hearts. Their consciences bear witness, and their thoughts now accusing or defending them. So all of this enters in. What is Paul saying? What he's saying is that the Jewish people who received the law are going to be judged by that standard. But the Gentiles who did not receive the law, they are going to be judged by the light of nature and by their own consciences. Now, let me be very clear about this. God isn't going to take the Gentiles and say, why did you not keep the Sabbath day to keep it holy? They'd say, wait a moment, we never heard that we were supposed to keep the Sabbath day holy. He'll say that to the Jewish people, but not to the Gentiles over here, because the text says that they did not receive the law, so they're not going to be judged by the law. But God will say to these other people who did not have special revelation, you committed murder and you knew that it was wrong. You lied and you knew it was wrong. You were a thief and you knew that that was wrong. Why? Because those are the kinds of laws that are written in people's hearts and their consciences. And that is the standard by which the judgment will take place. Don't ever think that God is going to take people from other religions and say, I'm going to send you to hell because you never believed in Jesus. That would be manifestly unfair. How in the world were they supposed to believe in Jesus if they never heard of him? That will not be the standard of judgment. The standard of judgment is by available light, not light that is unavailable. Very important throughout the scriptures. Now you say, well then, how will these people do? Well, I need to give you the bad news that despite general revelation, the light of nature and the light of conscience, there are going to be several things revealed. First of all, nobody really passes the grade because nobody lives up to what he knows is right. Nobody lives up to what he knows is right. Some people will do better than others, and God is definitely going to take that into account. Jesus made that very, very clear, that a person's judgment is based on what he knew. He who knew his Lord's will and didn't do it will receive one degree of punishment. The person who didn't know God's will is going to receive another. Of course, that's the way God is going to run it. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is that no one will have lived up to what he knew. And we're not talking about other religions. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about you. Do you live up to what you know to be true? I don't think so. There have been many times when I've done things what I knew were wrong, and I did them anyway. It's just the natural fallenness that we have. So the answer is nobody's going to do very well, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Furthermore, the light of nature and the light of conscience cannot give us what we need. Remember what we need. Don't lose sight of it. We need the righteousness of Christ credited to us, because without that credit, we will not get to heaven, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, what we need to understand is that general revelation of nature and conscience is not enough to save someone. You need the righteousness of Jesus. Now, having said that, what happens to the sincere seekers in other religions? The ones who are totally honest, the ones who say that the God that I'm serving, it can't be the right God, because of my conscience, because of nature, I want to serve the true God no matter what. I believe that the Bible teaches that God is obligated to give them that special revelation, to lead them in the truth, because if they seek like that, they shall find. There are many stories of that come to us from church history, from missions, where there have been people who have sought the living and the true God, and God connected them. God connected them with someone who could share the gospel. Listen to what the words of the Apostle Paul says on Mars Hill. I just want you to read it. He says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples made by hands. For from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times for them and set the exact places where they should live. God did this so men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us."
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, with part two of The Lie That God Is Obligated to Save Followers of Other Religions. Next time, more on this crucial issue. 10 Lies About God can be yours as a CD series, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.